You have now completed the HTML and semantic structuring section of this course. You have learned to build well-structured, accessible, and meaningful web pages using the right HTML elements for the right purposes. You know how to use headings, paragraphs, lists, tables, inline tags, and semantic grouping elements. You have built a fully semantic multi-page portfolio as a final project. That is a solid foundation. But there is an obvious question at this point. Your pages are functional and well-structured, yet they look plain, unstyled, and visually basic. This is completely normal. HTML is not responsible for visual presentation. That responsibility belongs to a separate technology called cascading style sheets, commonly known as CSS. This transition text is not a full CSS course. It is a bridge. Its goal is to give you just enough understanding of what CSS is, how it connects to HTML, and why it matters in your journey toward becoming a full-stack web developer. The detailed CSS section will follow, and it will cover everything in depth. For now, focus on understanding the big picture and the key concepts introduced here. What CSS is and what it is not. CSS stands for Cascading Style Sheets. It is a language dedicated entirely to describing how HTML elements should be displayed visually. CSS controls colors, fonts, sizes, spacing, layout, borders, backgrounds, animations, and much more. It does not describe the meaning or structure of content, that is HTML's job. The two technologies are complementary and designed to work together, but they are always kept separate in modern web development. This separation is called the separation of concerns, and it is a core principle you will apply throughout your career. Think of HTML as the skeleton and structure of a house: walls, floors, rooms, and doors. CSS is the interior design: paint colors, furniture placement, lighting, and decoration. You can have a house without decoration, it still works, but it will not be pleasant to live in. Similarly, an HTML page without CSS still delivers content, but it looks raw and unstyled. Why CSS matters for a full-stack developer? As a full-stack web developer, you will work on both the front-end, what users see in the browser, and the back-end, servers, databases, and application logic. CSS is a front-end technology, but understanding it deeply matters even when you are working on back-end tasks. Why? Because you will often need to build or adjust interfaces, communicate with front-end developers, review templates, debug visual rendering issues, or create internal tools. A developer who cannot read and write CSS is limited in their ability to deliver complete, production-ready work. Moreover, CSS directly impacts user experience, accessibility, and performance, all of which are professional responsibilities you will face in real projects. How CSS connects to HTML. There are three ways to apply CSS to an HTML document. Understanding these three methods is essential, because the quiz that follows this text will test your knowledge of them. The first method is called inline styles. You write CSS directly inside an HTML element using the style attribute. For example, you might write a paragraph like this: pstyle equals color, red, font size, 18px, greater than, this is a red paragraph. Less than slash p inline styles apply only to the specific element they are placed on. They have the highest priority, called specificity, in CSS, meaning they override other styles. However, inline styles are generally considered bad practice for full pages because they mix structure and presentation, making the code harder to maintain. The second method is called internal styles, or an embedded style sheet. You write CSS inside a style element placed in the head section of your HTML document. For example, head, style, p, color, blue, font size, 16px, slash style, slash head. This approach applies styles to all matching elements on that specific page. It is useful for small, single-page projects but becomes difficult to manage when you have multiple pages, because you have to duplicate or maintain the styles separately on each page. The third method, and the most professional and widely used, is called an external style sheet. You write your CSS in a separate file with the CSS extension, for example, styles.css, and you link it to your HTML document using the link element in the head section. The link looks like this: link rel equals stylesheet href equals styles.css greater than. This approach allows a single CSS file to control the appearance of an entire website with multiple pages. It is clean, maintainable, and follows the separation of concerns principle. This is the method you will use almost exclusively in professional projects. The basic syntax of CSS. A CSS rule is made up of three parts: a selector, a property, and a value. The selector identifies which HTML element or elements you want to style. The property names the visual aspect you want to change. The value defines how you want to change it. Here is a simple example of a CSS rule. P. Color: dark green. Font size: 14px. Line height: 1.6. In this example, P is the selector. It targets all paragraph elements. Inside the curly braces, each line is a declaration made up of a property, color, font size, line height, and a value, dark green, 14px, 1.6. Declarations are separated by semicolons. This structure is consistent and predictable. Once you learn it, you can apply it to style any element. Selectors: targeting HTML elements. One of the most powerful aspects of CSS is the ability to target elements precisely using different types of selectors. At the introductory level, you need to know three fundamental types. The first type is the element selector, also called a type selector. It targets all elements of a given type. For example, H1, color, navy, applies the navy color to every H1 heading on the page. The second type is the class selector. You add a class attribute to an HTML element, and then you target it in CSS using a dot followed by the class name. For example, in HTML you write pclass equals highlight greater than important note, less than slash p, and in CSS you write highlight, background color, yellow. Classes can be reused on multiple elements, making them very flexible. The third type is the identifier selector, also called the ID selector. You add an ID attribute to a unique HTML element, and then you target it in CSS using a hash symbol followed by the identifier name. For example, in HTML you write header ID equals main header greater than, and in CSS you write hashtag main header, background color, black, color, white. Identifiers must be unique within a page. Only one element should have a given identifier. The cascade and inheritance. The word cascading in cascading style sheets refers to the way CSS resolves conflicts when multiple rules apply to the same element. The cascade is a set of rules that determines which style wins. The main factors are specificity. More specific selectors override less specific ones, source order, rules written later in the style sheet override earlier ones when specificity is equal, and origin, browser default styles, external style sheets, and inline styles have different levels of priority. Inheritance is a related concept. Some CSS properties automatically pass down from a parent element to its children. For example, if you set font family on the body element, all text inside the page will inherit that font unless overridden. Not all properties are inherited. For example, borders and backgrounds are not inherited by default. The box model: understanding how elements take up space. Every HTML element in a browser is treated as a rectangular box. This is called the box model, and it is fundamental to understanding layout and spacing in CSS. Each box has four layers: content, the actual text, image, or other content inside the element; padding, the space between the content and the element's border. Padding is inside the border and is affected by the element's background color. Border, a line, which can be styled, colored, and sized, that wraps around the padding and content. Margin, the space outside the border, between this element and neighboring elements. Margins are transparent. For example, if you write a CSS rule like this: div, width, 300px, padding, 20px, border, 2px solid black, margin, 10px. The total space the element occupies on the page will be wider than 300 pixels, because padding and border are added on top of the declared width by default. Understanding this behavior is essential for controlling layouts. CSS and accessibility. You have spent significant time in the HTML section learning about accessibility, using semantic elements, providing alternative text, using scope attributes on tables, and structuring pages so that assistive technologies can navigate them correctly. CSS interacts with accessibility in important ways. A well-designed CSS can improve readability through appropriate contrast ratios, font sizes, and line spacing. However, CSS can also harm accessibility if used carelessly. For example, hiding content visually with display. None also hides it from screen readers. As you progress in the CSS section, you will learn techniques to hide elements visually while keeping them accessible, or to create focus indicators for keyboard navigation. The semantic foundation you have built in HTML is the prerequisite for making CSS enhancements that are also accessible. What comes next? The next section of this course focuses on CSS in depth. You will learn how to style text, control layout using Flexbox and Grid, make pages responsive for mobile devices, use CSS variables, and apply transitions and animations. All of these concepts build on what you have already learned in HTML. Your semantic HTML will serve as the backbone onto which CSS styles will be applied with precision. Remember, HTML defines what things are. CSS defines how they look. Keeping this distinction clear in your mind will help you write cleaner, more maintainable code throughout your career. A developer who understands both layers, structure, and presentation is far more effective than one who confuses the two. Take a moment to consolidate what you have just read before moving on to the quiz. Make sure you can answer questions about the three methods of applying CSS, the basic syntax of a CSS rule, the three fundamental selector types, the concept of the cascade, and the four layers of the box model. These are the key points this transition text has covered, and they form the foundation of everything that follows.